Do you know what it feels like to belong? To be accepted for who you are? Have you ever wondered why disability is often left out of the equity conversation? Welcome to the Human Is My Label podcast with the founder of Rapid and the owner of Puri Consultants, Emily Puri, a wife, mother, daughter, sibling, former athlete, disability rights advocate, and someone legally blind. Emily is energizing personal and organizational change by helping people get comfortable with the uncomfortable. Her passion about equity for all identities has fueled her commitment to normalize these conversations as Emily brings to life her own experiences to move forward together. Let's get comfortable with the uncomfortable together. The Human Is My Label podcast with Emily Puri starts now.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining me here today. I am so excited to be here with Human Is My Label on the Transformation Network. My name is Emily Puri again, and today we're going to talk about a lot about myself and my story and why I do the work I do. And so I hope you all are stick with me throughout this process. This is my first show on the network, and I'm really excited about it. But we'll just go ahead and get started. So, as I mentioned, my name is Emily Puri. I use she, her, hers pronouns. And as you get to know my guests on the show, we talk a lot about identity and equity on this podcast. And so I identify as a white female, cisgender female, and I also have a disability. And we'll talk a lot more about that throughout the shows, but I'll also talk more about it today. I'm the owner of Puri Consultants, and as well as the founder of Rapid, which is a nonprofit. Puri Consultants is a for-profit, and Rapid, which stands for Rehabilitation and Athletic Performance Intersecting Disability, is the nonprofit that I founded. We will learn a lot more about those at the end of the show here. I am a mother. I have a mother. I'm a mother of three children. I'm married of 9 years. I hope that's correct if my husband's listening. And we are in the Oregon metro area, Portland metro area. And so we live a fairly normal life, whatever normal is these days. I also have a guide dog named Bevy. It's like Beverly, but Bevy. And I've had her since 2018, November of 2018. And as we learn more about my story, you'll understand why I got her in later in my life. So, as far as my education goes, I went to school in the Pacific Northwest in high school, and then I went up to Eastern Washington University for college, where I studied psychology, mostly to avoid any kind of math that I would have to take. I played soccer for Eastern Washington, as well as threw the javelin for the track and field team up there. So I'm definitely an eagle. And then I started working shortly after that as a personal trainer and massage therapist. I guess I went to massage school shortly after that. Didn't want to be an adult yet after college. And so I started doing that, and I did that for about 4 or 5 years, I guess. And then I decided, or life decided, that I would go back for my master's degree. And I started that in about 2010. And I got my master's in organizational leadership. So management and organizational leadership at Warner Pacific College. Another big part of my identity that I like to talk about, and it will phase in and out of my story, is that I've always been a pretty hardcore athlete. This has always been part of my identity and who I am and what I have always been proud of. And so, as I mentioned, I played soccer, and I did through javelin in high school. I played basketball for a year. I pretty much could pick up any sport and be decent at it. Never professional at any of them, but decent at everything I kind of picked up. So it's always been part of my life. As we talk about my story, in 2009, that drastically changed, and I'm trying to work back to it now here in 2021. So the podcast, why are we here today? We're talking about everything equity with Emily, all the E's there. As I tell you more about my story, it's really, it, the pathway to me being a diversity, equity, inclusion, and access advocate has always probably been in my future, but I never knew that. I started doing the work around diversity, equity, inclusion around 8 years ago now, 8 or 9 years ago. And I really started with just disability awareness. But why do I feel like it's important to have a podcast about this? Why do I feel like we need to be talking about this more and more? And that's for a lot of reasons, really. I work through Prairie Consultants. I work with a lot of companies. And we are looking at diversity, equity, inclusion, especially on the west side of the country, and some East Coast, don't get me wrong, but we really are focusing on that. And it's been becoming a trend and more trendy. And that's not something we want to have diversity, equity, inclusion be a trend. We want it to be a part of all of our cultures and something that we eventually don't have to focus on, if that makes sense. Over here in, especially Oregon, we are definitely dominant culture in the workplace as far as white, able-bodied, cisgendered, and male, females mixed up, but as far as pay gaps, we are definitely still behind when it comes to females. And so in the corporate world, we want everyone to have an opportunity. We want everyone to feel comfortable at work. And that's not currently the case for a lot of minority communities. So I want to bring awareness to that. I want to call it out. I want to make sure people know what it's like to be a working minority inside the workplace. And this is not just to say all the negatives, but it's just to bring it to light and make sure we are all aware of what's happening. Disability awareness is also one of those conversations that's often left out of the equity conversation. So typically, and this regionally, this depends, you're going to hear about racial equity, ethnicity. We're talking about more and more. Gender equity is fairly common as far as male, female. But when we're talking about the LGBTQIA+ community, it's not as common to be talking about that. But again, regionally, it depends. But for the most part, we're not talking about disability. And some companies are doing a great job, so I don't want to discount those companies for their efforts. But others don't really think about it necessarily, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But we'll talk a lot about that as the time goes on. So I want to bring that awareness to folks. I want people to be able to bring them their full selves to work. It is so exhausting to have to hide pieces of your identity, whatever that identity is, to go to work and try to fit in and fit the culture and say the right things and speak the same way as, you know, the CEO or the CFO or whoever. You know, it is exhausting, and we put more energy into that than we can our work sometimes. And so by creating that inclusive workspace, we are able to put so much more effort towards our work and not covering for identity and really doing that extra work all the time. When it comes to disability, the big thing that's important for all of you out there to listen and hear, if you do not currently have a disability, anyone can join the disability community at any time. We are one of the only minority groups that you can join at any time. And so often people get into the situation where they're either temporarily disabled or permanently disabled, and they have no idea where to turn. They have no idea what the processes are, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's for recreation, whether it's for life, like house adaptations, etc. So there's so many pieces of disability that people have to learn in a crash course, if you will. And that is what we're trying to avoid, because this, anyone can join us at any time. And so to be aware of it and to talk about it and to open up this conversation is so important, and to not have it in the closet all the time. And that's why I'm here. Also, when we have stigma, like we do in the community around especially disability stigma, but stereotypes and prejudice and all the things around communities, we can't move forward. And by not talking about these things, by not bringing them up, it's just going to keep those issues perpetuating inside the workplace and in our communities. And that's what we want to break through. We want to break through that stigma. Also helping people, the people in these minority communities, find resources, reach out to organizations and companies that really do want to bring you on as an employee, as a part of the community. And when you get there, you're not only part of the community, but you feel like you're welcome there because they've taken those steps and that effort to really make you feel included. And in order to do that, we really have to start talking about it and helping people find those resources, like I say. And then finally, just to be better. When George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd happened, a lot of especially white people wanted to do something and they didn't know what to do or how to do it necessarily. And so we want to, the more we can talk about these things, the more options we can bring to folks, the more actions folks can take in any of the buckets of equity, whether it's race, whether it's gender, whether it's age, disability, doesn't matter what the case may be. When we can bring these ideas and we can really talk about these things and it's not weird, it's not uncomfortable. That's how people find their ability to help. That's how people find their space and their capacity to do something and not just say, oh my gosh, I wish I could help. That's one thing a lot of people do. So that's what this podcast is about. I personally am going to talk about my lived experience as a person with a disability. And then I will bring on guests that have other identities and we will share their experiences and we'll talk about, you know, the goods and the bads of all situations and really to bring awareness to how the world is different outside of our bubbles. I think regionally, like I talked about, diversity, equity, inclusion is very different depending on if you're in Oregon, if you're in Georgia, if you're in New York, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're globally, diversity, equity, inclusion is different for all of us. But when it comes down to it, we all live in a bubble of some kind, whether that's your employer, which was a big realization for me when I left my one of my previous jobs. I thought the world was super diverse and we were talking about all the things and it wasn't weird to say my pronouns. That was our normal and all of these things I thought was normal. And then I left that employer and the world hit me in the face and was like, yeah, right. That's not the real world. And so once we can step out of that bubble, or if you're listening out there and you hear like, oh, wow, what is this woman talking about and why is she talking about it? Then we can start to explore those things. We can start digging in. We can start on our own journeys, wherever those are at, to be better human beings. And I think in this world today, right now, so much is going on, whether it's COVID, the earthquakes in Haiti just happened, you know, there's just so much going on right now that we all need to be better humans in one way or another. And this isn't political. This isn't religious. This is none of that. It's just everyone should want to be a better human for each other, for our families, for our communities, etc. And so when we start learning, we may not agree with everything, and I'm not asking you to agree with everything, but when we learn, we can start to plant those seeds in ourselves, in our loved ones, and really be able to hopefully grow those seeds and say, okay, I've heard that terminology once or twice before. Maybe I'm going to look it up now on Google. I'm going to go somewhere and research it, or I'm going to read a book. And so that's how this journey starts for many people. It started for me. maybe I'll quickly tell you the story of my initiation into diversity, equity, inclusion. Is I was in a class, and I mentioned I identify as a white female, cisgender female. And, you know, as a white woman, I'll tell you about my family in a moment, but my husband's black. And so I got the white woman pass for being married to a black man. And I sat into a training. It was probably one of my first diversity, equity, inclusion trainings. And somebody said, all the white people in this room are white supremacists. And in that moment, I was like, how dare somebody call me that? My husband's black, and da da da, all the white defensive responses. But it came into my my soul, my heart, my everything. And it sat with me. And I said, wait, what does that really mean? I heard what they said in the training, but it didn't really sink in until probably about 3 weeks later. And I was like, okay, so I'm done being offended, but now what does that mean? And so that's how the seed was planted for me. And for many, that is how it's planted. You hear something on media, on the TV, on the social media, whatever the case may be, and you react in one way or another. And so I hope that I don't completely offend anyone out there today, but I hope I can plant some seeds with this podcast. My goal is for world peace, as the beauty queens would say, but it's just to help people become better humans and more understanding of people who are in situations that are different than their own, whether it's the way they look, act, believe, vote, move, whatever the case may be. Just because we don't live that identity doesn't mean we can't try and understand that identity. So that's what this podcast will be about. And like I said, I'll have lots of guests. It won't just be me talking every week, thank goodness. But we will talk about just about everything. And as you as listeners would like to hear about something, please write in questions about anything equity. And next episode, I'll give you a sneak peek. We are going to be talking about six-year-old questions. And so I'll explain that here at the end of this podcast. So I will move on to a little bit more about myself and my family. So as I mentioned, you know, why is this white cisgender woman, you know, talking about equity? And that's a question I get a lot. And it's, you know, more than just my disability. So my family is very diverse. I mentioned my husband is Black. I have three kiddos. One's 8, one's 17, and one is 21. They are all biracial. My brother married a Japanese woman, and so I have two mixed nephews, white and Japanese. I have a close family member who is part of the LGBTQIA community, and that's been all my life, so that's been my normal. Myself, my brother, and my oldest daughter have disabilities. And my what else do we have in there? I think that's it. Maybe. I think I'm forgetting something. But so as you can see, diversity, equity, inclusion is, though my lived experience only lies in disability and having a disability. That's the only identity I carry. I'm cisgender. I'm straight. I'm married to a man. I'm white. All of the other identities are very close to me in my heart. I don't get a free pass for any of those identities just because they're close to me. I can only observe the world from outside of them, but at a close distance, and really learning about the world through their eyes and understanding what they need based on what they tell me and the experiences we all have in the family. My sight. So I am legally blind. I said I had a guide dog named Bevy. She's freaking awesome. She's a German Shepherd. And I have macular degeneration, Stargardt's disease. And so my vision is progressively deteriorating. I am losing my central vision. So some people have their peripheral and it's coming in and people call it tunnel vision. Some people have all different types of sight disabilities, but mine is my central vision is starting to disappear. And so it's been since I was a kid. Many people have heard of macular degeneration, but it's usually in their grandparents. And so with that, the progressiveness is the kind of tricky thing. It's not a disability. The disability in itself, I have accepted, but the progression of it is always different. So the progression when I was a kid was much slower. It seems like it's speeding up as I get older, but there's really not too much research on juvenile macular degeneration to know what will happen necessarily. And so we are always, you know, part of the research studies, et cetera, getting everything checked out. But the biggest thing for me in getting a guide dog was I was starting to lose depth perception. So curbs, stairs, you know, those semi-dangerous things that can be a problem were becoming difficult to see. And I was just becoming very untrusting of where my feet were going. And so I really thought about it. It was a huge acceptance process of now I'm to that point. I am that blind that I need a guide dog. And so once I made the plunge, I applied at Guiding Eyes for the Blind in New York. And I was very excited. Bevy is a guide dog who's able to run with me, though COVID has stunted that a little bit, but she is trained to run with me, so I'm still able to run with my guide dogs. So that's been really amazing and fun. So my site, other than that, like I said, I live a pretty normal life. I am a parent. I do all the parent things. We go to soccer. We were at a soccer tournament all last weekend and we do all the things. We travel, all that. And that's something that I also want to make sure and destigmatize, that parents and wives or husbands with disabilities, we do a lot of the normal things. It just looks a little different. So that's my vision. We'll learn more about that. One of the big things with family that I want to mention is really talking about how differences are talked about in my house. So a lot of people who don't have any kind of differences, so primarily a white family, not mixed, or any family of that matter, of any race or ethnicity that doesn't have any kind of mixed race in the family, we get used to what we're used to. And so that's why a lot of the equity issues exist in our culture, is because we're not necessarily used to seeing things that are different than us. And so when we do, it seems weird or awkward or something that sets off, uncomfortableness in us. And so with my family, we talk about differences all the time. My youngest daughter, so my two olders are my stepkids technically, but we don't use those terms in our house. I've always been mom to them. But so I didn't have to raise them. I had my daughter when I came into her life when she was 10. And I think my son was 7 when they came into my life. And so I didn't have to do all like the initial raising of them and talking about all these things. So it really only happened with my youngest daughter. And she will often ask, mommy, why is your skin pink? And why is daddy's skin brown? And then when it came to my vision, she would say, what's wrong with your eyes? Why can't you see very good? And so differences in my family have always been talked about, but in a typical family or a more American family, if you will, that's even that term's not correct, but you don't necessarily have to talk to it if your kids aren't exposed to different things. And so that's the other big thing about this podcast. How do we talk to our kids? How do we talk to our loved ones so that this isn't weird or uncomfortable or awkward, which it can be. So going back to this, my statement about stepkids, I thought it was really interesting growing up. I have two step siblings, and we always call them step siblings. And now it's just very different that this generation doesn't necessarily call them step anymore. Sometimes some families do, or half brothers and sisters. That was another big term when we were kids. But it's just really interesting that that has never been part of our vocabulary. And I'm surprised by it because, like I said, we always said my stepdad or my stepsister and brother, and we never thought twice about it. That's just what it was. But now my kids, they don't know. It's just their brother and sister, and that's that. And I'm mom, and dad, and it's just that's what it is. So the blended family terminology has been interesting to watch it evolve, and even I didn't even realize it until quite a few years into our relationship, but definitely maybe 3 years ago I noticed that we didn't say those things in my house. So I thought that was just something to note, is always looking at the different terminology that's used. Even just the other day, my youngest had a question about being mixed. So she's always identified as mixed. And she said, but they're not mixed. They're not black and white. And so, understanding these terminologies as kids is important, because that's what makes adults, and makes adults more aware and knowing of what the world looks like around them. And so we said, you know, people who are mixed with all different types of things. It doesn't just have to be black and white. That's not the only requirement. The other group of people I would love to invite into this conversation is parents with disabilities. So like myself, parents and the people who have kids that have disabilities, but also those parents of children with disabilities. I'm very passionate about making sure people know, or have a place, not know, but have a place to talk about having disabilities, with their kids having disabilities. And how do you navigate that? Do you do everything for them? Do you enable them? Do you empower them? And I think that's a big reason the way I turned out that I did, running two businesses, independent, before I was married, I was living on my own, is because my family treated me as I was quote unquote normal. And they provided me the services and the things I needed to succeed. And so when I was treated that way, that's how I grew up. I had to work hard. I still had expectations. I still had goals. I still had to, you know, was expected to do those things. Whereas many parents, you know, maybe not consciously feel pity for their child with a disability, but don't know how to navigate it. They don't know how to push a child with a disability. And so I really want parents of children with disabilities to be listening today and every Tuesday at 1 o'clock, because it's really important for the development of your child and for the sanity of yourself. My oldest daughter currently lives in a adult foster home. I don't like that term either, just because it's in the past has been a very bad place for people, but it's the only reason we have a relationship with her, honestly, to this day. We had to make a very tough decision when she was about 15, and I am so grateful that we did make that decision to start really pursuing services and making sure she had what she needed, but also for the health and safety of ourselves and our other two children. And so that's a big part of this conversation too, but also for those minorities out there looking for options and looking for that intersection of help, looking for people to make sure and give them those options and those resources and that place to just listen and hear what to do next as a human being, as a minority, as a person with a disability, as somebody going through some of the same struggles that some of my guests will have had throughout their lives, and hopefully drawing from that. So that's why we're here. I am so excited again to be here. And I really hope the comments and questions come in through that question portal there, I guess is the best way to say it. And I look forward to answering questions. Like I said, we'll talk about six-year-old questions here to close up the episode, and we'll talk more about it next week. So in a moment here, we're going to take a break and hear from our amazing sponsors. I'm going to say thank you to our sponsors again, because they're amazing and fabulous. And I look forward to being back in a few minutes. Are you one of those people who doesn't understand the ins and outs of insurance? Because I know when I started my business, we needed insurance for our home. I was one of those people. If you're looking for someone to really explain and help you through this process, I highly recommend Shelly Monsivais with Country Financial. You can reach her at 503-707-5297. I can assure you, you are in good hands. Hello everyone, I would like to introduce you to Tim Saland. Tim is with RE/MAX Equity Group, and he is one of the most amazing realtors I've ever met. He is thoughtful, he is caring, he is willing to give good advice, and not just going to give you advice to get the sale. If you're looking to buy or sell a home today, get in touch with Tim Saland at 503-332-1013, and I promise you will not regret it.
Inspire. Create. Empower. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The truth is funny. Shift happens with monthly guest host Karen Benton. Tune in for powerful conversations about health and wellness. Karen brings unique insights rich with humor and science to her discussions with experts in medicine, movement, psychology, spirituality, and so much more. Don't miss Karen on The Truth Is Funny every third Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and make your appointment today.
It sounds like we're back. Thank you so much. I'm really excited to keep going here. So I'm going to leap right into the two companies. And I'm not trying to sell anybody on this, but it really explains the things I do and how I can help all of you out there and how the organizations can help you. And so that's really what I want to get into now. And so I mentioned I have Prairie Consultants, which is my for-profit business, and I help organizations, companies, and individuals through their diversity, equity, inclusion, and access journeys. And so that's a whole bunch of stuff, but I help companies, especially on the high level, diversity, equity, inclusion. So why to be nice to humans that don't look like us, act like us, vote like us, move like us, etc. And so because I don't live the experiences of, let's say a person of color or a person in the LGBTQIA community, I'm not going to specialize in any of those areas. And so I do the high level really entry or the foundation building to diversity, equity, inclusion. And so that's the big piece of the high level diversity, equity, inclusion. And then I have other consultants that are on our team that specialize in different areas. So once we do the foundation laying, we help companies if they need more help in racial equity, or if they need more help in disability justice, or if they need more help in building awareness around the LGBTQIA community. That's where we come in, and I bring in a specialist that lives that experience. It's very important to Prairie Consultants that the people speaking come from lived experience. And so that's what we do with corporations on the high level of diversity, equity, and inclusion. But then we go down the ladder into those specialty areas, but also especially with myself working in the disability inclusion space. And so making companies more inclusive and welcoming to people with disabilities. So this bucket is big. It's a big bucket of stuff that we do for companies and organizations. Anything from high level surveys. So that could be for all diversity, equity, inclusion, not just for disability, but surveys as to how the experiences of your current employees are as a minority or non-minority. Everyone in the organization takes the survey, hopefully. And then we can have a place to start from there, really understanding the experiences of those inside. And we've also worked with people looking at their customer base and how they're doing from the outside, treating their customers who may have other identities than their own. And so that's the high level. We also do space evaluations from the humanity standpoint, the humanity lens. So we don't specialize in really the code, the building code. We know it roughly, but we're not architects. But we really look at how is this space received by a human who may have a disability, or maybe is a domestic violence survivor. So the different perspectives we bring into that space is really important to us. And so the space evaluations of companies, organizations, offices, or any kind of community space, that's another big one. And so again, we're not looking at the code because a lot of buildings, if they were built in a certain era, et cetera, have met code requirements, but there's so much more beyond code that we can talk about and that we can make our spaces more welcoming. We also do a lot of training, a lot of consulting for folks on how to, for example, how to make your HR department more inclusive to the hiring process. So anything from the moment they log on to your site until the moment they get the job, you know, where are the gaps in that system? And again, I specialize in the disability piece of it. But when we talk about disability, and we make things more universally accessible, we're often making it more universally accessible to all. That's the point of your universal design, is, and it's not just physical space design, but also process and procedure design. When we look at that from an equity lens, we're making it better for many humans, not just people with disabilities. And so we do a lot of consulting in that realm, especially around HR. And then one of the big trendy ones right now is return to work for COVID. How minority communities are feeling about returning to work. And I know everyone's different in the nation or in the world about whether you ever left work or not. Here in the Pacific Northwest, a lot of people are still working from home. And so that's been a really popular conversation, thinking about those communities you might not have considered. And again, I am not about shaming anyone. My approach is very acknowledging where you're at and moving forward, not shaming for what you are not doing or what you're trying to do and you may have not done so well doing it. So this return to work situation has been really difficult for everyone. HR people, I take my hat off to you because you are working around the clock trying to figure out policies and procedures and flex schedules and all of that. But often, you know, people with disabilities are left out of that conversation and they are often most affected by it. And so we do all kinds of evaluations. I've been called in to do, you know, cubicle evaluations based on, we want to upgrade our furniture and, you know, is this best for everyone? How do we include everyone, et cetera? So Prairie Consultants does a lot of random things because we offer a lot of different services. And a lot of times people come to us asking for specific things and we're usually able to accommodate them. Again, we have consultants in the veteran community. We have us consultants in the disability community, in the second chance community, also, and in the racial equity community. So we have a variety of speakers and consultants that can help in different areas who actually live that experience. And so that's one big bucket of Prairie Consultants. My podcast also lives under Prairie Consultants. So that's why we are here today. So that's exciting. The other side of Prairie Consultants that I think some people will be interested in today is the side of coaching. So personal and individual coaching around a variety of things. But as I mentioned before the break, parents of children with disabilities, we do a lot of consulting and coaching with them. How do we find that balance? What can I do for, how do I teach my child to be independent and still honor and respect their disability? We do a lot of coaching with people with disabilities, either how do I get a job? What do I do through interview processes to be more normal, which is not what I want to coach. Unfortunately, we have to do what we have to do to get people jobs. But I also work with the companies on, you know, people shouldn't have to act a certain way to be a part of your company, a part of your culture. So that goes both ways, but we do want people to get employed. And then just a lot of people that are just stuck. COVID has impacted all of us, as we all know. But the disability community especially went through even more isolation than normal. People with disabilities have a very hard time making friends because people see us as weird or different or awkward or I don't know how to act, so they tend to avoid folks. And so unless people with disabilities are very outgoing and forthcoming and will approach people no matter what, often there's a lot of isolation that's experienced. And so through COVID, I worked with a lot of individuals trying to just figure out what can I do today to get through this in the best way possible, and most productive way possible. The other thing with the pandemic, we often in any kind of recession or downturn in the employment industry, people with disabilities are one of the first to be laid off. And so we had a big layoff once again, hurting our employment numbers. And so people are at home, and what do I do? And am I going to get my job back, or are they going to not bring me back because of accommodations? You know, all these what ifs, and the fear and the sadness and the issues that were felt around that. So I do a lot of individual coaching around that, and really trying to get people unstuck in whatever situation they're in. So the Puri Consultants website, just so you have it there, is Puriko, PURRYCO.com. It's Puriko.com. And you can check it out. If there's anything, especially if you're a business owner, if there's anything you're curious about or you have a need to fill, just email us, because we cannot possibly put all of the services on the website, especially around disability, because there's just so many different aspects of disabilities we work with companies. So that's Puri Consultants. I think that's all. Again, just trying to bring awareness to companies and organizations to try to make this place a better place to work and be and live, and trying to help individuals along that journey as well. Now there's Rapid, my baby, my pride and joy, my passion, everything of who I am and who I want to be. Rapid stands for Rehabilitation and Athletic Performance Intersecting Disability. And someday I will put up a podcast that tells my story. But as I mentioned in my intro, in about 2009, I had an injury that really turned my life upside down. And so that's where Rapid was developed. That's where we began looking at the services and that gap offered for folks in that transition from able-bodied to disabled. And so that's where Rapid came from. I'm really excited about the possibilities. As I said, we were established in 2019, November of 2019. And while we're on the next break, you can check us out at www.rapidorgon.org. But we have fought our way through COVID, and we're still doing amazing. And there's so much more on the horizons. We're really working hard to really establish ourselves as far as funding and programs. And we're really excited for the launch of some of our new programs. And then eventually our facility. And that's what we will definitely touch on when we get back from break. But it's really looking at that opportunity for folks who are able-bodied. As I mentioned, anybody can join us at any time. So for the able-bodied folks to transition into a disabled life and have success in doing so. And currently there's not a lot of systems set up for that. So Rapid is that place. So I will come back after this break and tell you more about Rapid, and then wrap up here for the day with our 6-year-old questions. So we'll be back shortly.
Do you find yourself being busy, busy, yet you just don't feel all that productive or fulfilled at the end of the day? Tune into Coffee with the Universe with me, Laura Goldstein, every third Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Stop reacting to life and be more peaceful and on purpose instead. Visit www.cwtu.net for show details.
Can't get enough of Eye of Soul Radio? Join psychic medium Jamie every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Take a deeper look at the raw side of spirit. Nothing is off limits. Connect with lost loved ones and explore these vulnerable subjects with the compassionate guidance of psychic medium Jamie. You are not alone. Eye of Soul, Thursdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
transformationtalkradio.com.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to The Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
Listen up. The wealth you receive is a result of your personal relationship with the soul of money, meaning your spiritual well-being affects your ability to create abundance. Jennifer Bloom works with people to mend the spiritual disconnects that block up the cash flow. How's your relationship with yourself? Are you in balance with the divine? I know, these are big questions, but there are answers. Take Jennifer's free money relationship quiz to learn where you need to focus your energy and watch yourself grow into the abundance you deserve. Trust the divine. Learn to receive. You are worthy of all the wealth you seek. Visit jenniferbloom.com and click on the purple banner to take the free money relationship quiz. That's Jennifer Bloom, BLOOME.com.
So we're almost there to the finish line. So Rapid's mission is to help people with disabilities and veterans with disabilities accept, embrace, and thrive in their lives. And as I mentioned, we are trying to build programs right now that are COVID friendly. We wanted to enter the world and bringing awareness to the health and wellness of people with disabilities and veterans with disabilities through our rapid retreats, which we are hoping that we'll get to do our first official one in February, but we're also looking for opportunities to do mini rapid retreats here in the coming months. But we are looking at the whole process and the whole health and well-being of people with disabilities. And so until we build our facility, which we hope to break ground in 2023, whatever that means, it's a flexible vision right now. So we're looking for property here in Oregon. We're looking for 17 to 23 acres of property that we are able to build a retreat-like building where post hospital, so you are in a car accident, for instance, and you've lost your leg, let's say. You need to rehabilitate. You go to the hospital, you get everything healed up, you have your basic needs, you're able to fulfill your basic needs, or you have help at home to fulfill those basic needs. But now you have to go out into the world with one leg. And for most people, that's not a normal situation, and nobody has ever planned for that, and nobody has ever expected that, and nobody has ever thought about that. And so when you come out of the hospital, people are looking at you differently. You may not be able to do the job you once did. You are struggling internally with who am I, what is my identity, etc. And so there's great recommendations from the hospitals and everything. I'm definitely not dissing those organizations, but then you come out into life and life starts happening, and it's really hard. And it's really hard often, not all the time, but with disabilities to transport. So driving, learning mass transit, et cetera, is difficult at first. And it can be for a long period of time. It's one of the worst parts of my life is that I can't drive. But when you come to a place that helps you navigate some of that, and it helps you reintegrate to society slowly by going out on grocery shopping trips or going to the gym and knowing that people are going to stare at you and look at you funny and treat you differently, but then being able to go back to a facility where you have peers, where you have other residents there staying at the facility that have experienced that and that can talk with you about that. And so you don't feel completely alone. Also staff that know how to work through that, know how to navigate it without, shutting it down, acknowledging it too much, pitying you too much, but also getting you back up on your way and being successful in life. And so that's the big dream of Rapid. And we are very excited to be on the way. And in the meantime, we have many programs. Again, hopefully you went and checked out the website at rapidorgan.org. We have a Rapid retail store. We have a lot of equipment right now. We just got a great donation. If you're in the Portland metro area, treadmills and ellipticals, and we take in used fitness equipment in that it's in phenomenal shape, and we sell it at a discounted rate and hopefully get it back out to the community. We have our rapid retreats, like I mentioned, where we do a mini version of the facility. So it's a weekend packed full of health, wellness activities for especially for people with disabilities that is adaptive, etc. And so at these retreats, we'll take in, you know, 15 to 20 people at a time and really just show them how great life can be when services are accessible, etc. We also are looking to build an app. We have it designed and we're looking for a development team right now. And this app is all inclusive. So it will have fitness and wellness activities, etc. COVID really highlighted the need for community as well as resources at the palm of your hand. And so this app will have everything that's specialized to the user. So for instance, my profile would say I'm legally blind. And so anything that was pertinent to the blind community would pop up first. I can access all the information on the app. It doesn't exclude anything, but it gives me the information that I will be able to access first. And so our app is, we're really excited about it, and we're really looking for a development team to help us out on that. And so we have a lot going for us. We're making progress. We're still so young. My Hood to Coast team, if anybody's out there listening, Hood to Coast, we have a Hood to Coast relay team that is going to run this weekend. And so we're just raising awareness and raising funds for that. And so that's really exciting. And then we're also doing some Pints and Paints events just to get people together for the first time. We have not been able to meet our donors, our constituents, our supporters, our amazing family that's around us in person very much. We've done a lot of Zoom. We've done a lot of stuff there, but we're really wanting to engage with our community. So we also have another program that's on the verge, and I'm not going to spill the beans yet. But that's Rapid in a nutshell. We're really trying to build awareness around the health and well-being of people and veterans with disabilities, because the health outcomes are significantly worse for those with disabilities. The employment numbers are significantly worse for those with disabilities. And so we want to give people the opportunity to see that there's more, and to bring business into that as well, and have business support in all of the different areas that we will help people thrive. And so that's Rapid in a nutshell. We are looking to accept, embrace, and help people accept, embrace, and thrive in their lives. Okay, so to wrap up, next week, I'm going to be talking about six-year-old questions. And so if you're on the live internet, the site there, there's a place to ask questions. And so as of next week, I really want to hear questions from the audience. And I'll explain six-year-old questions next week, so don't worry. But it's a really fun concept that I integrate into all of my classes personally when I'm teaching, and really getting people to understand the things that we all wanted to know as six-year-olds but never able to ask. And so I integrate this opportunity into all of my classes. Again, I am not about shaming anybody for where they're at. If you don't know, you don't know. If you want to know, let's start that journey. And so really encouraging folks to start reading, doing their homework, but also having a platform to ask those six-year-old questions. And so that's where I'm at and what we will offer next week. I'll talk a ton about it. Again, the websites are out there. I'm really excited to be on the network here, and I want to know what all of you want me to talk about in this and on this platform here in the coming months, years, however long I stay on here. So I hope everyone has a fantastic week. I hope we are all able to really accept where we're at and where we can grow, and really be willing to explore those areas of growth and to make this world a better place to live in for all of us. That's the goal there, is to be better every day. And I just want to say thank you to everyone. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Is My Label podcast, helping people get comfortable with the uncomfortable on Transformation Talk Radio with your host, Emily Purd. Legally blind herself, Emily has learned to overcome adversities that stuck her midway through her life. And because of that, she believes that every employee and customer should feel as if they belong, are accepted, and celebrated for their true self. Human Is My Label podcast uncovers the uncomfortable and invites the conversation of compassion. If you're interested in coaching, corporate training, or Rapid, go to rapidoregon.org. For more information about Emily and her journey, be sure to visit purryco.com. That's purryco.com. And tune in next time for Human Is My Label with Emily Purry.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.